The numbers told the story. They always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Good Monday morning. Tune is a numbers game at VSiN, the sports betting network, VSiN.com, the VSiN app, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV, and of course, the DraftKings Network. It's Gil Alexander. It's Kelly Midland, producer number 9. So much more than a producer. How you doing?
Good, man. What a Sunday. What a Sunday.
What a Sunday, indeed. And I say that with like a little, like, question mark. What a Sunday? I mean, that was that was bizarro. We'll get into all of it. Championship Sunday, Ravens, Chiefs, Niners, and the Lions heading into Super Bowl 58 now, less than 2 weeks away. Only 2 weeks to talk about this game, Kelly. We're excited about that. Mike Somich will join us as well later on the show. Matt Brown's co-host on the handle here weekends. Equal time. It's what we do. Equal political time for the both of them on the show. And we'll talk. We'll go through both of these games right off the top, and then we'll get into some of what we think about the nuanced parts of these. That's how this works on Mondays. Let us begin with the Chiefs and the Ravens. How was your weekend, by the way? Was it good betting-wise? Was it okay?
Squeezed out a few bucks. Props and live betting, though, that kind of stuff. You know, it's been a wonky playoffs. Like, made a little money this past weekend in the wild card weekend. Yeah. Divisional round was a disaster. So it's like you're giving money to the book, taking money from the book. You know, that whole cycle back and forth.
KC of Baltimore, AFC Championship yesterday. Joe Tooney, the guard, and Willie Gay, the Chiefs linebacker, both out with injuries, pec and neck. See what I did there? Romo, surprised by KC deferring right off the top. He hasn't gotten the memo on this. Baltimore starts out 3-and-out. 66-yard punt by Jordan Stout. KC pinned back at their own 14. No problem. 10 plays, 86 yards. Took 5:45 off the clock, including a 4th-and-2 conversion at the Baltimore 41. Mahomes to Kelsey for 13. Great catch by Kelsey. 3 plays later, Mahomes to Kelsey for 19 in the end zone. Great catch again. 7-0 Kansas City. 7:41 left in the first quarter. First touchdown that Kyle Hamilton had given up to a touchdown to a tight end. All season long. That was Kelsey's 6th touchdown in championship games, the most by anyone ever. Straight to the hall. Baltimore, this was their high mark. This was their peak of the game. 6 plays, 75 yards, took 2:43, including a 4th-and-1 conversion at their own 34. Remember that they went for it at their own 34, 4th-and-1. Lamar for 21. 2 plays later, Lamar ducks under a would-be sack from Leo Chenal to Zay Flowers for 30. Touchdown. We are tied at 7 apiece, 4:58 left in the first quarter. That was the greatest moment of the game for Baltimore. It was all downhill from there. Kansas City then unleashes a 16-play, 75-yard drive that took 9 minutes and 2 seconds off the clock, including a Kelsey conversion on 3rd-and-5 at the Baltimore 27 for 10. Another great pass and catch. 5 plays later, Pacheco in from 2, 14-7 Kansas City, 10:56 left in the second quarter. By the way, from this point forward, the Chiefs would only score 3 more points the rest of the game. It's incredible. 10:56 left in the second quarter. At this point in the game, by the way, time of possession was 14:47 to 4:17.
It was insane.
The Chiefs had 12 first downs. The Ravens had 9 plays on offense. Baltimore gets it 1st and 10, their own 36. Lamar hit by Charles Omenihu as he throws, fumbles the old strip sack. Karlaftis recovers. Kansas City set up at the Baltimore 33, up 7 already. Remember, this is where they could have put the game away, but 4th and inches at the Baltimore 13. Pacheco short. That after Kelsey was just shy on 3rd and short. Or excuse me, on 3rd and got almost to the sticks on 3rd down. Baltimore then takes over down 7. 2nd and 5 at their own 18. Lamar to Lamar on the Justin Reed deflection. I guess that was the highlight play of the day for Baltimore. At least they had that much. But they still had to punt. 3:49 left in the second quarter. Kansas City with a 3-and-out. Baltimore then set up at their own 41. Short field, 3-and-out. Double dip opportunity for Kansas City. And this was a big theme for Baltimore in this ballgame. Van Noy, unnecessary roughness, headbutt on Kelsey. Then roughing on Travis Jones, clotheslining Mahomes. Only offset, fortunately for Baltimore, by 2 Kansas City holds late in that drive. That led to a Butker 52-yard field goal to close the half, 17-7 Kansas City. It felt like every Baltimore penalty in this game was like a 25-yarder. They were just massive penalties. And oh, by the way, none controversial. like they were they all got their money's worth on all of these penalties. At the half, Mahomes was 20 of 25 for 161. Kelce was 9 for 96, I should say, in a touchdown on 9 targets. The Chiefs were outgaining Baltimore 221 to 110. They had run 43 plays to Baltimore's 22. They had 16 first downs to Baltimore's 5. And they had the ball for 20 minutes and 39 seconds to Baltimore's 9:21, and only, Kelly, led by 10. Only based on all those stats. Lamar had only completed 5 forward passes for 67 yards. He had a fumble lost as well. Baltimore, a week, here was the big theme of this game. Baltimore, a week after Buffalo, had gone 39 carries for 182 yards against this Chiefs defense. Baltimore at halftime had 9 carries for 46 yards, but a lot of those were Lamar carries too. We'll get to those final stats momentarily. Third quarter, KC 3 and out, Baltimore 3 and out. On that 3 and out, on that third down, Lamar really throws a interception that should have happened. Todd Wishnev's itch to Nick Bolton. He drops it. KC punts, 7:05 left in the third quarter. It's still 17-7. Then with the rain increasing, Baltimore punts after getting to the Kansas City 37, but a hold. And then 2 plays later, a sack by Justin Reed set them back. 2:31 left in third quarter. Spagnuolo just kept on blitzing. We talked about this on Friday, that Lamar Jackson's big kryptonite is when he gets blitzed. He is a bottom-tier NFL quarterback, EPA, when he gets blitzed, and Spags was all over it. Casey gets the ball back. Nance says T-sizzle when Terrell Suggs comes out. That's always funny. 3 and out. Nance opines, maybe it's because of T-Sizzle. 49 seconds left in the third quarter. It's still 17-7. And here's where you kind of knew Kelly once and for all. Lamar to Flowers for 54 to the 10-yard line. But 15 yards for taunting. For taunting on Flowers, who got the trifecta of taunting. He pushed Legarius Sneed. He threw the ball down on him, and he stood over him.
Yeah.
Which one do you want? It's just incredible. 4 plays later, first play of the fourth quarter, 2nd and 7 of the Kansas City 8. You know where this is going. Lamar to Zay. He lunges for the end zone. The ball knocked out by Sneed, the guy he was taunting, 1 yard shy of the goal. Karma. Recovered by Trent McDuffie in the end zone. Flowers would then slam his hand down on the bench in frustration and cut it too. So there's that.
Oh, is that where he cut his hand?
Injury to insult.
I figured it was on the play.
Nope, on the bench. Kansas City would punt again, though. Kansas City's not scoring. But a Clowney roughing the passer took away some more clock. So 10:35 left. It remained 17-7. Baltimore pinned at their own 1 after Tommy Townsend punted it beautifully. Baltimore 4th and 3 at their own 18. 8:47 to go. They get it to OBJ for 6. 4 plays later to Aguilar for 39. Surely this is when Baltimore cuts into the lead. 2 plays after that, Lamar into triple coverage, picked in the end zone by Deion Bush with 6:45 to go. Just a horrible pass by any measure. Kansas City 3 and out again. Baltimore calls timeout before third down, but not after third down. They let the clock run down to 5 minutes. That was curious. Baltimore 3rd and 6 at midfield. Amazing bobbling catch by Justice Hill for 11 led to a Tucker 43-yard field goal. We do have a 1-score game. However, it's with 2:34 left. And then Kansas City gets to 1st and 5 right after a too many men on the field penalty for Baltimore. Then they correctly purposely jump offside to get it back, to reset it to first down. Roquan just plows in the lineman, though. That's unnecessary roughness for it's 15 yards further. Ridiculous. After 2 1-yard rushes and Baltimore burning their last 2 timeouts, and it's 3rd and 9, Mahomes to Marquez Valdes-Scantling for 33. Ball game. And that's at the 2-minute warning. Mahomes finishes 30 of 39 for 241. Kelce 11 for 116 on 11 targets with a touchdown. He passes Jerry Rice for the most postseason catches of all time. Chiefs advance to their 4th Super Bowl in 5 seasons, only the 3rd team to do that. 37-30 to 22-30 on the time of possession. They were +3 in turnovers. Remember the big ones, of course, at the Kansas City 1. Zay leaping into the end zone, and of course, that pass into triple coverage in the end zone. Baltimore 8 for 95 in penalties. It was such a huge part of this game. But the big thing is this. 8 designed runs for the Ravens. 6 to running backs. And again, last week, Buffalo, 39 carries for 182 yards against Kansas City. What are we doing? Baltimore, 35-game streak with 100-plus rushing yards snapped. That's regular season and postseason. And Lamar on third downs, 1 of 6 for 7 yards, sacked twice, completed a season-low 41% of passes versus the blitz. Again, Steve Spagnuolo deserves all the credit for that game plan. But what were the Ravens doing abandoning the run? It is the most perplexing approach to any game I remember this season. I don't remember another game where you stare at it and you're like, what are they doing?
I think the part that I could maybe forgive them for is if they came out of the locker room at halftime, I was expecting to see a completely different Ravens offense in the second half. With how little they ran in the first half, they're still in the game. You're talking about the running backs, just everything in general. Lamar had like 3 carries, 4 carries. There was no designed runs for him. There's no running game established whatsoever. I was expecting them to come out in the second half and be like in heavy personnels, like going 11 on 11, running the ball with them. Never even tried it. I'm with you. It was beyond weird is the only word I can come up with. Like, I mean, that whole final quarter, it was like, hey, 4 guys, go deep. I'm going to run around here for 3 seconds, see if I can find anything, and not.
Your identity is the running game.
Right.
Now, by the way, it's not like in the few times you did go to the running backs, you didn't have success. You did.
Mm-hmm.
And they still abandoned it. And as we've said in previous weeks, we said this about Josh Allen, the Bills. We said about the Ravens. Oftentimes, the Ravens' best play is just simply, okay, Lamar, it's your turn. Go take it. See what you can do. And there was very little of that, too. It was super bizarre. Good on the Chiefs. A team that when they lost to the Raiders, we just thought, this is a horrible football team. They're just bad at football. They're in the Super Bowl. Easy peasy. We get to the Niners and Lions next. Numbers Game, VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
A Numbers Game on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Looking for a super offer for Super Bowl 58? DraftKings Sportsbook has you covered. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use code VSiN. New customers can bet $5 to get $200 instantly in bonus bets only on DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of Super Bowl 58 with code VSIN. The crown is yours. Skill Alexander, we get tweets. I don't know if you know that. That being the book, always appreciate it. There's a bunch of them, Kelly. Daytime degenerate. The best part of that triple cover coverage throw by Lamar was likely calling for it too. Go Chiefs. I almost wonder.
I do love when the receivers do that.
I almost wonder when Lamar, you saw that shot of Lamar just like looking to the heavens after he saw it on the computer. I wonder if part of that was, I can't believe he called for it. That likely called for it.
Yeah, not an excuse for you, Lamar. Sorry.
Not an excuse. Career.
I'd be like, how many wide receivers in the history of the NFL?
Let me do the quick math. 100% of them.
No. I'm saying of that you would actually tell a quarterback, like, yo, if he throws his hand up, just throw the ball to him. Like, you can count on one hand. You know what I mean?
Brian Grierson. Was Kelly the child actor who played Henry's friend in Rookie of the Year?
Do you even get that reference?
I do not.
Oh, it's a great reference. I actually know exactly the kid you're talking about, whoever tweeted that in. Like, it's a fair.
Is that a no?
It's a fair comparison.
It was not you?
No, it was not me, but it's a fair comparison.
The numbers, guys. In 1991, there was a commercial from SI that said the Cowboys and Lions will be the teams of the 90s. They had it half right, but my childhood was fine. Lions made the playoffs every other year under Wayne Fonts. The Lions are back, he says, in Capitals, but it ain't going to be this easy again. I was talking about Friday about how per Aaron Schatz's his numbers at Football Outsiders that the Niners had the misfortune of playing either the best or second best team in the history of the NFL, at least back to 1981, as far as his numbers go, the 1991 Skins, who they got blasted by 31 points at RFK after the 1991 season in the NFC Championship, and these Niners, who he had rated 8th all time since 1981, that is.
It's
one
brutal.
Of these. One of these teams ain't like the other. Let's just put it that way.
The
Niners' defense is so suspect. It ain't like the 91 Skins.
Yeah, and just, I mean, real quick, like that is a, like we said earlier, the Lions. You got a lot of good things to look forward to.
Yep.
In here doing Live Bet Sunday yesterday at the D. This place is full of Detroit fans, and we're here for the first half of the game, and this place is going nuts, and it was awesome to see. And, like, as cool of a sporting moment just out in a bar or whatever that I've seen, because this place was packed with Lions fans that were going nuts. And I left at halftime. I have no idea what it was like after that.
It was like our primetime actions where we would just be miserable about something, and then we'd like go home and all of our bets would win, and we'd be like, why did we get to do this on air? The opposite of that. Matthew Mayberry. Lamar tried to stop and cut back to the middle of the field on the play you were talking about, and he just stretched it to the sideline full speed. He's gone. He clearly went into this game against Mahomes trying to prove he could win this with his arm. I was saying this the entire game. So he agrees with you.
Yeah, I completely agree with you. He's talking about the Snead tackle. I think he's right.
He tried to cut it off field
a little bit. Yeah, and if he just kept going outside, I think he's gone.
I don't know if he tried to cut. Did he try to cut it up field?
Either way,
it was so bizarre. I was like, how did he just get chased down that easily?
I was a nut job with I had Lamar Jackson over rushing props. I hit him live a couple times too. I was going nuts on a couple of those plays.
Go fast, Troy. Funny how Lamar lost the game with not using his legs, and Purdy wins the game with his legs. Yeah, he sure did.
Absolutely.
Vegas Vice. Don't understand why analytics purportedly does not distinguish by situation. Part of analytics of going near the goal line is that the other team is in the shadow of the end zone. If you fail, that does not apply to the end of the half situation. 100%. But I still thought that Dan Campbell should have kicked when it was. I'll be completely honest in the moment. When he punted on 4th and 6 early and they were already up in the game, I was thrilled as a Niners guy, as a Niners better. I was like, good, he's punting it.
Yeah,
Niners can't stop them.
Were you surprised? I was surprised.
I was surprised.
Yeah.
When they kicked the field goal at the end of the first half, I believe it was the right thing to do. I'm just talking about how I felt in the moment.
Right.
Because betting is the truth serum. On the first 4th down, in the second half, when they decided not to go up 17, I was kind of pumped by that. I was like, oh man, if they blow this, this is a momentum changer. And then the one that they could have tied the game, I absolutely thought he was wrong for not trying to tie the game, because at that point, it was the helmet-to-helmet uncalled.
That was when I texted.
The Niners had to settle for a field goal, and I felt like if they had stemmed the momentum at that point.
Right.
And that if he had kicked the field goal. By the way, it's not a lock that he makes the field goal. You had to understand that too, so I get that. And it's Badgley, and it's 48 yards. You never know. But I did think you try to kick the field goal there. That's all in the moment. My biggest point of all of that, though, is reasonable minds can disagree on all of that.
I mean, yesterday was a perfect example.
It's the play at the end you can't disagree
on. Yeah, I completely agree. And that is the third quarter one you're talking about, that one is exactly what you described, Gil. Like, it is... Football's weird sometimes, right? You dominated the first half, and you had a bad fumble, a pass that went off of someone's face mask, things that happen that, like, you can't really control that bring the Niners back into the game. But the chance to tie that up, like you're talking about, after a nice drive, and you're kind of kill that momentum, in my mind, if you're able to tie it up with that field goal, you reset the game again, and you go from there.
I think SVP said it best last night. I don't know if you caught SportsCenter after the game.
Yeah, I saw some of it.
He was talking about, you know, Brock Purdy and people's feelings about Brock Purdy. Saying, he goes, you're either Joe Montana or you suck.
Yep.
Like, people have these extreme takes on everything. There's no in between. It's just ridiculous. It's so stupid. There's no nuance to anything. And I do believe with the Dan Campbell stuff, there is, you know, look, those were my opinions in those moments. Am I right?
Right.
Yep. No, not necessarily.
Sure.
Right.
No, I think you've broken it down great. I think even SVP said this last night too, of like, hey, this is the guy's shown you who he's going to be. And I mean Dan Campbell, who he's going to be since he got there.
Tim Hasselbeck said it great. That's right.
And then when you listen, when you hear some of the players afterward, and Jared Goff, when getting question after question about, hey, well, should you go on, should we go out for that? Always want my offense on the field. When the players have your back like that too, I just
can't stand the results-oriented takes.
Right.
Right? The people who, based on the result, then they're going to react to it. Tell me how you truly felt right in that moment, depending on what side you were betting. And betting is usually the truth serum on that stuff. And I just told you how I felt. It doesn't mean that my instinct was correct. It doesn't mean that your instinct was correct. Certain things are subjective. Objectively, though, that last thing at the end was different.
100%. Yeah. You can't do that there. I understand. I mean, time score situation. It all goes in there, right? If you're down one touchdown and there's zero timeouts, you do whatever you want. Run the ball if you want. You've been successful running the ball. Fine. But you need two scores.
Timmy,
like you said, that the timeouts were the important thing.
That is objective. Tim Hasselbeck said it great about the whole thing about Campbell. That team responds to Dan Campbell's way of doing things, and it's not fake.
And you can't argue with that, right? So if every decision that he makes, it's really hard for me to push back on when you know the team is completely behind that guy.
New York Mets 16, Scott. I have to admit that I didn't see the Aiyuk off the helmet catch live, but on replay, I saw a flag thrown. Was there PI on the play that would have still given San Francisco the ball inside the 10? Fortuitous bounce, but results still the same. It was picked up. I do think it was they were going to call PI.
That was totally the NBA. That was the NBA. There's a foul, but let me see if he makes the basket first.
Right.
And then, he made the basket. I'm not going to call it. Absolutely, there was a flag thrown for PI that was picked up because it was kind of ticky-tacky because the guy caught the ball.
Kane at K. Broskowski. If you're a Midwest guy coming to Vegas for a Tuesday, Wednesday, any good food place is not really feeling American, Mexican, Chinese, or Italian. He puts up a sushi emoji. The Vegas Lifestyle Podcast is on Wednesday. We will have all your answers. Mark Meltzer, Steve Fezzik will be in the house with us. Table Max, of course, the guy who money makers his way to the NFC final table, he's talking about Dan Campbell, is going to go with what he quote-unquote feels about critical decisions, regardless of the situation. This has been a fun experiment, but can we finally hashtag fire Dan Campbell? This is from Kevin Ryan. I just read where the Chiefs have invited Zane Flowers to sit next to Taylor Swift in the press box on Super Bowl Sunday. Nevada Azer. One would have to think, given how the non-football people in NFL front offices behave, that Campbell's aggro coaching style is going to have a big target on it. Not sure how you adjust his style without creating conflict. Next year, Detroit handicap is going to be way, way different. We've said that already about Detroit handicaps, that you have to account for that kind of volatility, and it's hard to do. CRG Futures, the Lions' biggest mistake was before the run. They should have kicked the field goal at 139 on 2nd-and-2 and with all their timeouts. I actually mentioned that in my rant, that I think you could have made an argument for that for sure.
I think you just got to throw the ball there and live with the results.
Yeah.
Like, unfortunately, I think that's what you have to do. That's what makes it so tough.
But they were just too casual.
And I know.
They were. Sean's Fox plays. Analytics does not take into account the morale and emotional factor of kicking and essentially erasing San Francisco's field goal and what that does to a team's morale. In the playoff analytics, be damned. You take the points always. Always get a chance to tie. You tie. Listen, I agree with you. That was my instinct on that, too. I think they should have tied it. It would have changed things. By the way, going up 17 would have changed it.
These are all great tweets.
Just get through these, Kevin. Yeah. One more. Joey Sinante, I thought they said during the game the onside conversion rate was 2 of 42 this year. Not 100% sure of the accuracy, but it is definitely in that neighborhood. We'll get to the rest later. Go ahead. What are you saying?
No. You're good. It goes back to the fourth downs, like you said before. I think yesterday was a great example of you can believe one way or the other, and you're not necessarily wrong. There were a lot of those examples yesterday.
There are going to be people killing him. Listen, the Niners came back and won. You think I'd kill him? I'm not going to kill him for any of that stuff.
No, me either.
It's how it is today with him. Some people love it, some don't. We're coming back. More football. Levitard next on DK.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Put the VSiN experts to work for you and start betting smarter with the VSiN Pro subscription. Sign up on a VSiN Pro annual subscription. Get your first year for only $199. Just use promo code ANG. Get access to everything on our brand new VSiN.com website. Plus, our daily best bets with the leaderboard to see which VSiN expert has the hot hand. Betting splits to show you where the money and bets are moving for every game. Betting systems, premium analysis, 24/7 video access. You want more? We got more. Plus, our upcoming Super Bowl betting guide with best bets and favorite prop bets. Remember to use promo code ANG, though.
That's ANG, folks, as in a numbers game. Show you are currently watching.
I'm sorry, I didn't mean to step on you.
No, I'm going to keep cutting you off now, but I keep extending it.
Get your first year of VSiN Pro access for only $199. Sign up today at VSiN.com/subscribe. Skill Alexander, that's Kelly Midland. This, ladies and gentlemen, is Matt Brown's co-host. They are co-hosts on The Handle weekends here at VSiN. And the only reason I describe him as Matt Brown's co-host is because we have Matt every Friday. And when Matt learned that Mike Somich was joining us on Mondays, he threatened to never come on the show again. Mike Somich is here. How you doing, man?
I'm doing good. There's a little rift. I'm not going to lie. I was told I was cheating on him this weekend. Yeah. He wasn't too happy that I was going to be here on Monday. But here we are. We got, we got to come through.
Listen. It's just how it is. Yeah. It is what it is.
We appreciate having you, Matt.
Yes, we do.
He'll get over it.
Matt was a little peanut butter and jelly about that, though, last week. I'll tell you.
Matt's a funny one because you can never predict how he's going to react on certain things. All right, so we started talking about this off air. Let's just jump right into this about Dan Campbell, because the point that I was making for most of the 90 minutes of this show so far is we can we can debate the fourth downs, right? We can have a reasonable disagreement on the fourth downs. Analytics say it's the same win probability. Human beings who are anti-analytics say, yeah, but it doesn't capture momentum. I happen to think he should have gone up three scores when he had the opportunity. I happen to think he should have tied the game. But that doesn't mean that that is correct. It's just an opinion. What is objective as opposed to subjective is running on third down late. That, in not properly assessing that risk reward, and the risk happened, right? Montgomery stuffed for a 2-yard loss. That's the part that is that you cannot debate. That was just wrong.
That was by far the largest gaffe from this Detroit coaching staff. And I have been a big Ben Johnson guy. This whole year, I think he is a phenomenal offensive coordinator. I think everyone needs to remember he's the one who called that run play. And I realize that Dan Campbell could probably sit there and say, hey, why are we running the football? But that's not something I expect from Dan Campbell in that spot. And Ben Johnson was the one who decided to run the football. He calls all of Detroit's plays. And I'm bringing that up for the simple reason we've seen a lot of coordinators be phenomenal coordinators and awful with clock management. He is officially on the radar of he might be awful with clock management next year when he is a head coach somewhere.
Well, any minute now, he should be the head coach of the Washington Commodores. So I think that's coming down the line. I mean, I think that's the guy they've been obsessed with. That's the guy they were waiting for. And so I think Ben Johnson will be the Commander's next head coach. I mean, you're right. He did call the play, but you would hope that Dan Campbell would have oversight, right?
You would hope that he would be aware enough in that situation to say, hey, guys, what are we doing? Why are we running the football? These timeouts are gold to us right now. The chances of getting an onside kick, phenomenally low. If you have all three timeouts, you can kick it deep. You have the opportunity to then be able to take those timeouts, try and get the football back. Or, you know, if you score the touchdown, you can still onside kick it. And if they get a field goal, you've got to go back and score a touchdown down six. Those three timeouts were as valuable as anything at that point in the football game for Detroit. I was screaming when they had first and goal from the 9. Every ball should be the end zone.
Yes.
Every single one.
They were way too casual.
Yeah, you've got this underneath route where you're lucky the guy gets out of bounds, and it's just like, no, you got to throw it to the end zone three times, kick the field goal if you don't get it, then kick it deep. And on the fourth downs, I agree with you. I think it is a lot subjective. My main issue with it, I actually thought the one when they were down three, they should have gone for it. Because at that point, I mean, momentum is completely on the other side. If you kick the field goal, you're going to give 5 minutes and two timeouts to a San Francisco offense that's marched up and down the field on the second half with you. My issue is the lack of consistency at the end of the first half and then in the third quarter.
I brought that up, yeah.
Because if you go for it at the end of the first half, which, by the way, your reward significantly higher with a lower risk than that one that you went for early in the third quarter, because you go up 17. Okay, that's fine. You need to make that same decision when there's 5 minutes left in the third quarter to go back up 17.
I said the same thing. The counter to that point was, at the end of the first half, you're not pinning, you know, and at that in, you know, in the second half, So the first half is a different assessment than it is the other ones. I view it your way. I view it as you went up three scores then, go up three scores now.
Well, and the issue with missing it you have a San Francisco team that got the ball at half, goes down, kicks their field goal, right? Okay, so they cut it to 14. You essentially wipe out 80% of the third quarter if you kick a field goal there, and you take the fans out of the game. And that's the other part of it I don't think people were necessarily thinking about here is if when they didn't make that, all of a sudden, that field goal that felt like a loss for San Francisco wasn't a loss because it's not back to a three-score game. And if you go for it there and you miss, the momentum swing and the crowd specifically in San Francisco all of a sudden becomes a factor.
Yeah.
Where if you kick the field goal, it's out.
Well, see, these are all subjective, debatable points.
Because
my thing with the one where they could have, by the way, nice job, Katie Bolter, 6-2, 6-2 over Jasmine. The one to tie. So I viewed it as the Niners had all this we're talking about the last fourth that they went for. Now it's 27-24 Niners. The Niners had scored four drives in a row. They were going to get their fifth, which we didn't know yet. But I viewed it at that moment as their momentum had actually been stemmed because they had to settle for the field goal after that helmet to helmet on Purdy on the ground was not called. And so I fell. And then remember, Detroit had two chunk plays.
Yep.
And I'm like, oh, boy, like please, I'm a, as a Niners bettor, right, who had Niners bets and Niners exacta, I was like, please kick the, like,
take the three.
I'm worried that he'll take the three here. The three is the proper thing to do to tie the game. Now, it's not a gimme. It's 48-yard field goal.
Yeah.
It's Michael Badgley. We're not talking about Justin Tucker from 20 here.
78%.
Right? Okay, so it's not a gimme. But I did think that if they tied the game there, I was back to dying. Like, it was sphincter titan moment again, right? And so when he went for it, I'm just like, and that's when Kelly, when they missed, Kelly sends me the text, Dan Campbell, you beautiful bastard.
I think you laid it out perfectly. Yeah. We see these things through our bets, and I think it gives you a clearer vision of what you actually think is the right
and
wrong choice.
It's the truth serum of it all.
And what Mike said is absolutely right. You said at the beginning of the show, the consistency is probably the biggest problem I have, but that was, I was with you. Like, having a Niner money invested in the Niners, I was like, I think it makes a lot of sense for them to kick a field goal to tie this up here and try to quell that kind of momentum that the Niners had built up.
And in many, in many respects, you know, we talk about Dan Campbell because it's fun to talk about and we can go back and forth on it. In the end, and I don't know the answer, maybe it is the biggest reason. What was the biggest reason to you that the Lions lost that game? Was it those decisions, or was it Josh Reynolds dropping passes?
I think Dan Campbell gets an unfair amount of the blame. I mean, you got to put a lot of this on the players. Look, the Detroit defense outright stunk in the second half. Right. You have
which they have been stinking all this while.
Correct. But
yes,
as a head coach, you'd hope you'd fix that at some point.
Sure.
You know, maybe make it marginally better. If we're not going to make it great, just marginally better. Here's all we're looking for. And then, yeah, I mean, it's on the players as well. You had Purdy where you had a possible interception early in the game that was dropped. The long play where Ayuk catches it, that very well could have been an interception that ends up going for a long Ayuk pass play. Reynolds, it goes 1 for 4 with 3 drops. I mean, just as someone who had the Reynolds over, that was a little painful.
Oh, man, yeah, he was. A disaster in that game. Jeez.
So I think the coaching staff gets an unfair amount of blame in this game. We'll talk about the next one in a second, where I think there should be more blame on the coaching staff.
Dude, but I agree with that, and we started by talking about that too. I think someone asked me yesterday. I was on with Dave Ross and with Wes Reynolds, and one of the questions that either Dave or Wes asked me was, "What was the biggest thing that surprised you in the whole day?" And it was clearly the Baltimore game plan.
What are we doing?
Like, that's just off the charts bizarro.
3 running back runs after the 5 minute and 23 second point in the first quarter. 3 times running backs ran the football. This is one of the best rushing teams in the NFL.
They were only down 10.
It was never out of the realm of possibility they can come back. And this is the Chiefs' weakness. And you're missing Willie Gay. It made absolutely no sense that they weren't trying to just move the football on the ground. I get it. You want Lamar to get carries. He didn't even go over his carry prop. He had 8.
Right.
And I would guess, I haven't looked this up, I guess about half of those were scrambles. They weren't even designed runs.
Nothing was designed. That's what I was freaking out about, Mike.
It's like I came into this game thinking Baltimore tries to run the ball 35 times. That's their path to victory. And they ran it 13 or something crazy like that. It's like, what are we doing?
It was six designed. I want to get the exact number right because I don't want to, because I keep getting messed up in my head. But the Ravens ended up with a grand total of 16 rushes, but 8 were Lamar. So only 8 rushes that weren't Lamar. 2 of those were to Zay Flowers. Only 6 designed runs to running backs.
Wow.
And by the way, they were, again, successful on those runs, and they abandoned
Gus
it.
Gus goes for 15 yards on his first touch. He gets 1 more before half.
And again, the Lamar ones, most of those were scramble bailouts, like we talked about earlier, get tackled by the shoelaces, go down after 4 yards. Like, nothing was designed for Lamar.
That's why I say, if you're a Lions fan, you're upset right now, but 2 days from now, you're going to be like, our future's great. If you're a Baltimore fan, I don't know what you say anymore.
This was it. That was the chance.
I don't know what you say. And this was the year that Burrow was hurt. Joe Burrow's coming back next year. That ain't fun. More with Mike Sombich on the other side. Numbers Game, VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.